Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, give the Torah in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Those scriptures that we read today were excellent, especially the Kedavah HaShalakim ones, because it really speaks, the Kedavah HaShalakim really speaks about getting connected to Yehovah, being part of his vine, and then obeying his fourth commandment and entering into his rest, which is the Shabbat day. And I, excuse me, have taken my message today from the Kedavah HaShalakim, and I've taken, whoops, I've just done the wrong one. Try again. I've taken it from Yochanan, from the scriptures we read from Yochanan, and I've actually just used those scriptures and broken them down. So you'll have to bear with me. Let us pray first. Abba Father, we just thank you for the word. We just thank you that today is the day of words. Today is Devarim, which is words. And you've given me a word to share with your chosen ones. And I just pray, Abba Father, that they will receive it in the way that you want them to receive it. They will take what they want, spit out the bones. And Abba Father, I will pray that you'll perfect all of my words this day. In Yeshua's name, amen. I've titled this from Yochanan chapter 15, verses 4 to 10, that to be steadfast, or I've titled it the secret to bearing fruit is being steadfast. We've got to be firm in him, we've got to be steadfast in his word, and we've got to cling to him as branches to a vine. And to be steadfast means to never waver in our love for Yehovah or his son Yeshua. Yeshua is the best example, and he told us in his own words when we read from those scriptures today in Yochanan, John 15, 4 to 10. He says, stay united with me as I will with you. Just as the branch can't put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, so you can't bear fruit apart from me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who stay united with me and I with them are the ones who bear much fruit, because apart from me you can't do a thing. Unless a person remains united with me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. Such branches are withered and thrown into the fire where they are burned up. If you remain united with me and my words with you, then ask whatever you want and it will happen for you. This is how my Father is glorified, in your bearing much fruit. This is how you will prove to be my Talmidim. Just as my Father has loved me, I too have loved you, so stay in my love. If you keep my commands, you will stay in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and stay in his love. There's certain things that I got from this reading and from this scripture. Number one was, we need to discern the secret of bearing fruit. What does it mean to bear fruit? I'm going to give you four dimensions of fruit bearing. One is to have an intimacy of worship and praise. And we find that in Messianic Jews, Hebrews 13, 15. It says, through him, that is Yeshua, therefore let us offer Yehovah a sacrifice of praise continually. For this is a natural product of lips that acknowledge his name. Two, we need to develop a righteous character and become more like Yeshua. And Galatians 5:16 says, what I am saying is this, run your lives by the Ruach, or by the Spirit. Then you will not do what your old nature wants. You won't fall back into your old ways because you are listening to the Ruach HaKodesh. How do you know that you're walking in the Ruach or the Spirit? Well, we learn that down further in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. And we're all talking about the vine and the fruit and how to bear fruit. And Galatians 5, 22 to 25 says, "But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things. Moreover, those who belong to Yeshua HaMashiach have put their old nature to death on the stake, along with its passions and desires. Since it is through the Ruach that we have life, and it is also through the Ruach that we order our lives day by day." And then Kepha Beit, or 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8 says, "By these he," that is Yeshua, "has given us valuable and superlatively great promises, so that through them you might come to share in Yehovah's nature and escape the corruption which evil desires have brought into the world. For this is the very reason, try your hardest to furnish your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with perseverance, and perseverance with righteousness, righteousness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. If you have these qualities in abundance, they will keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach." It takes us all back to what we read in Yochanan chapter 5. If you don't bear fruit, then what does that mean? Well, verse 9 in chapter 5 says, verse 9 tells us in Kepha Beit, in 2 Peter, "Indeed, whoever lacks them is blind, so short-sighted that he forgets that his past sins have been washed away." Okay, so that was step 2. Step 3, you will never stumble or fall if you bear fruit. Kepha Beit again in 2 Peter 1:10, it says, "Therefore, brothers, try even harder to make your being called and chosen a certainty. For if you keep doing this, you will never stumble." I love his word. That's why I love speaking through his word. Because it's his word that speaks to me, and it's his word that I have to give to you. Not my words, Yehovah's words. Number 4, soul winning is another way of bearing fruit. Minister Malachi is the soul winner of our family. In Mishlei or Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins soul, and he who is wise wins souls." There is no use in winning souls if you do not clean them up and disciple them, because they're not going to get anywhere. And that's my role in the family. I do the cleaning up and the discipling. Discipling souls to me means being strong enough, mature enough, fruitful enough to disciple someone else and bring them to that maturity. And that's what I aim to do when I speak to you, is to give impart into your lives so that you can impart into others. I'm not over you. We are all equal. I've just been a teacher for 49 years. Oh, it's getting close to 50. It's terrible, isn't it? 49. So, goodness me. So to be a teacher just comes naturally to me, to help others find their way to be able to help others comes naturally to me. And I suppose that's why I love the word so much, because it's Yah's word that taught me, and it's his word through me that can teach you. I don't know whether you noticed in what Yeshua said when he said, stay united, when he was speaking from Yochanan 15 verses 4 to 10. In those 10 verses, he used the word united or stay united 10 times, just in that small section of scripture. In Yochanan 15, 4, Yochanan 15, 5, 6 and 7 it was used, and 7 twice. Yochanan 9 and 10 and 10 twice. Why do you think the word is mentioned again and again? Stay united, be united, be connected, and join united with me. I think it's because the secret of bearing fruit is being united with him and staying in his love. That's the whole secret. Bearing fruit is so important that if we don't, he's going to cut us off. Because that's what it said in verse 2. In Yochanan 15 verse 2 it says, every branch which is part of me but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear more fruit. That's the ouch times of our walking with him. And there are ouch times when we have to go through things which are completely painless, painful. Pruning is not painless. Pruning is painful. And as Yeshua cuts this away and that away, or puts us in a position which is outside of our comfort zone, he is growing us. He is preparing us for something bigger in life. And he does that so we will bear fruit. I know that there's a lot of people in this room that have been going through heaps lately. But when we look at it, that we're going through it so that we mature that little bit more, so that we grow that more in him. We've already stood steadfast. We've already stood this last 18 months or more steadfast and taken a lot of suffering for not bowing down, but being firm to Yeshua, firm to the word of Yehovah, and not bowing down to man. But to do that, it's been painful. To do that, it's taken courage. To do that, it's taken a lot of trust and faith in Yehovah. But through that time, it's been painful. And people have been put in positions that they've never been put into before. And they're experiencing things they've never experienced before, even from family members. And so this is part of the pruning. Yes, this family member might cut you off, and that one might cut you off. That's okay. Because I believe there's going to be a time when they're all going to eat humble pie. They're all going to take us back in. But in the meantime, we have to stand firm and trust in Yah. And I suppose that's why I took this scripture today, that I took for today, to help you grow and to be strong in him, to help you realize that what you're going through is not just for your sake, for it's happening because it's happening. It's happening because it's strengthening you in your walk, and strengthening you in your livelihoods, strengthening you even maybe in your careers. You know, we don't know. Yah might be putting you on a new path. You know, some people have changed their workplace and their type of path they were on before this all happened. But Yah is using it to be able to help you grow and to give you an extra iron in the fire, so to speak. A branch does not bear fruit by struggling, but by being united to the vine. When you walk through a vineyard, do you ever detect tension and struggle among the branches as they bear fruit? Well, I've walked through many vineyards, especially in South Australia, and I've never experienced that. Instead, there is a calm and a confident resting as branches draw their life from the vine in order to bear their fruit. A vineyard is an absolutely beautiful, peaceful place to go. And you could even throw out a picnic rug and have a picnic there, and it's just a lovely place to be in. To walk in a vineyard is a peaceful place where you can be with Yah and his natural environment. In the messianic life, we experience first a union with Yehovah and then a communion with all the people that we meet with as we become a community of Sabbath observant believers. When we become a believer, first there is a union with Yeshua. Sha'ul describes this union as taking place in the immersions in Galatians 3:27. It says, because as many of you as were immersed into Mashiach have clothed yourselves with Mashiach, HaMashiach, in whom there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free man, neither male nor female, for in union with Yeshua HaMashiach you are all one. Also, if you belong to HaMashiach, you are a seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. So you are united to the vine. You are connected to the vine. And in Romans 6, verses 3 to 5, it says, don't you know that those of us who have been immersed into Yeshua HaMashiach have been immersed into his death? Through immersion into his death, we were buried with him, so that just as through the glory of the Father, HaMashiach was raised from the dead, likewise we too might live a new life. So we have been united with him in a death like his. We will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Having been united together with Yeshua, our union with him is like that of a branch to a vine. As we stay steadfast in this union, we have communion or fellowship with Yeshua in a very close and personal way. This communion or mutual staying with the vine of Yeshua enables the branches, which is us, all Yeshua's Talmudim, to bear fruit. The branch receives from the vine the strength necessary to bear fruit. So the believer receives from Yeshua strength to do what he or she could not do on his own or her own. So let us look again at Yochanan 15 verses 4 and 5. It says there, stay united with me as I will with you. Just as the branch can't put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, so you can't bear fruit apart from me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who stay united with me and I with them are the ones who bear much fruit, because apart from me you can't do a thing. Apart from Yeshua, we have nothing. No strength, no power. Of the strength or power available to those in Yeshua, Sha'ul often wrote of his own life and in the lives of others. When we look at Philippians 4:13, Sha'ul says, I can do all things through him, that is Yeshua, who gives me power. And in Philippians 4:19, he says, moreover, my Elohim will fill every need of yours according to his glorious wealth in union with Yeshua HaMashiach. Sha'ul also wanted others to know the great power available to them. And he wrote in Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19, I pray that he, Yeshua, will give light to the eyes of your hearts so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you, what rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people, and how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. It works with the same mighty strength he used. And Ephesians 3, verses 19 and 20. Shaul says, yes, to know it, even though it is beyond all knowing, so that you will be filled with all fullness of Elohim. Now to him who by his power working in us is able to do far beyond anything we can ask or imagine. It's only in his word. They're not my words. They're Yehovah's words. Shaul often gave examples of how this power could transform people to others. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11, he says, don't you know that the unrighteous people will have no share in the kingdom of Yehovah? Don't delude yourselves. People who engage in sex before marriage, who worship idols, who engage in sex after marriage with someone other than their spouse, who engage in active or passive homosexuality, who steal, who are greedy, who get drunk, who assail people with contemptuous language, who rob, none of them will share the kingdom of Yehovah. Some of you used to do these things, but you have cleansed yourselves. You have been set apart for Yehovah. You have come to be counted righteous through the power of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach and through the Ruach HaKodesh. Praise Yah for Yeshua, because he forgives us of our sins. He forgives us of our wrongdoings, and we can walk with him, knowing that we have repented of them. And he even speaks to himself in 1 Timothy 1, 12-13a, and says, I thank the one who has given me strength, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, that he considered me trustworthy enough to put me in his service, even though I used to be a man who blasphemed and persecuted and was arrogant. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, Shaul goes on to say, for I am the least of all the emissaries, unfit to be called an emissary, because I persecuted the messianic community of Yehovah. But by Yehovah's grace, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I have worked harder than all of them, although it was not I, but the grace of Yehovah with me. When one is consistently bearing fruit, it is certainly good evidence of a close relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach and his word, and he is the word. United also speaks of continuing of his love. Yeshua loved us so much that he died for us. It speaks of continuing in his presence. It speaks of an intimacy and drawing from him the life source that we might be able to bear fruit. In other words, just having an experience with Yah does not mean we are united with him. We can accept Yeshua HaMashiach as our Saviour, and yes, we can be told the angels are singing and dancing in heaven, but unless we are cleaned and unless we repent of our sins, and unless we change and make that 180 degree turn, it's fruitless, completely fruitless. In other words, we just have had an experience. It doesn't mean we are uniting. Being united implies that it is a continual relationship born through intimacy and dependency on him. There was years in my life when I was single, wasn't looking for a husband, didn't want a husband. And I always used to say, me, myself and Yeshua get on very well together. I don't need anyone else, thank you very much. And then he gave me Malachi when I wasn't looking. And I am blessed to have him. But I would have been happy just to be by myself. It's much easier by yourself in times. But anyway, we all have that to bear, just like it would be easier for him to be by himself at times. You all need some time out, I think, at times. Messianic Jews Hebrews in chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, for the land that soaks up frequent rains and then brings forth a crop useful to its owners and receives a blessing from Yehovah, But if it keeps producing thorns and thistles, it fails the tests and is close to being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. But if it fails the test because it didn't bear fruit, it will be cursed, rejected, and it'll be burned. None of us want to be there. Whereas the lack of fruit can also be an indication of one of three things. One, there was never a union to begin with. Or two, there was a union, but communion is not taking place, leaving one in jeopardy of being cut off and rejected. Or three, there was a union, but the branch had already been cut off. With Yehovah's pruning, as we read in Yochanan 15 and 2b, it said, "In every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit." We should expect to see evidence or Yehovah's work in our lives, which means that things that would hinder us are being cut away, and we are ever being developed so that we become more fruitful. One way that Yah does this is through the word of Yehovah. Notice what Yeshua says in Yochanan 15 and verse 3. "Right now, because of the word which I have spoken to you, you are pruned." It's what we read today. It's there. The word of Yehovah can be a very powerful instrument in the hands of his children. I cannot start my day without opening up my word and getting into my word. And I have done it since 1951, unless I've been unconscious. And there have been days that that's happened. But when I'm conscious, the first thing I do is get into the word. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 3, it says, "See, the word of Yehovah is alive. It is at work and is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts right through to the soul where meets spirit and joints meet marrow, and is quick to judge the inner reflections and attitudes of the heart. Before Yehovah, nothing created is hidden, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him to whom we must render an account." Yah sees all. He knows all. He knows our thoughts before we've even thought them. There's nothing we can hide from him. So there's no point in pretending that we can. Because one day we will have to make account for everything that we have said, done, and even thought. In Ephesians 6 and verse 17, it says, "And take the helmet of deliverance, along with the sword given by the Ruach," that is, the word of Yehovah. As we read or hear the word, it can expose us to what we really are. And when we received it properly, it helps us make great changes to our lives, to our thoughts, to our actions. And I love what Yaakov says in Yaakov James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Yaakov says, "Don't deceive yourselves by only hearing what the word says." I'm not too sure. Oh, has someone got a Ford 723 TIR? A black Ford? 723 TIR, black Ford. No one? No one here. Okay, you're safe. Whatever that's about. Where was I?
Back on James 1:22.
Sorry? Right, I've got it. We'll start again from Yaakov, James 1, 22 to 25. "Don't deceive yourselves by only hearing what the word says, but do it. For whoever hears the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, who looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he looks like. But if a person looks closely into the perfect Torah, which gives freedom, and continues becoming not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work it requires, then he will be blessed in what he does. Simple, isn't it? If we read the word, we get all the information. We've just got to find the right parts. James happens to be one of my favourite books. And all of my children and most of my male grandchildren have got James in their name. My father, of course, his name was Yaakov. So it's always been part of our family. So if we are not constantly growing through the influence of the word of Yah, then clearly we are not united with Yeshua. We need a growing sense of dependence on him, Yeshua. In Yochanan 15:5, it said, "Because if apart from me, you can't do a thing." All we need to come to realize is that apart from Yeshua, we cannot do a thing of real, lasting value. But those who are united in Yeshua will become like Shaul, who realized the true source of his strength and his union was with Yeshua. As it said in 2 Corinthians 15:13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are living a life of trust. Test yourselves. Don't you realize that Yeshua HaMashiach is in you unless you fail to pass the test?" And in Galatians 2:20, "When the Messiah was executed on the stake as a criminal, I was too, so that my proud ego no longer lives. But the Messiah lives in me, and the life I now live in my body, I live in the same trusting faithfulness that the Son of Yehovah had, who loved me and gave himself up for me." And Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who gives me power." Amen to that one. We are united with Yeshua. When we are united with Yeshua, our prayers will be answered. And we read that in Yochanan 15, verse 7. "If you remain united with me and my words with you, then ask whatever you want and it will happen for you." Yeshua said it. I believe it. That settles it. As we stay united with Yeshua, we will find our prayers being answered. Of course, answered prayers will depend upon several factors. One, that we keep his mitzvot or commands and do the things that please him. According to Yochanan Aleph or 1 John 3:22, it says, "Then whatever we ask for, we receive from him, because we are obeying his commands and doing the things that please him." Two, that our requests are according to Yehovah's will. In Yochanan Aleph or 1 John 5:14, it says, "This is the confidence we have in his presence. If we ask anything that accords with his will, he hears us." Three, also that our requests are not for our own selfish gain. Because Yaakov, again, in James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Or you pray and don't receive because you pray with the wrong motive, that of wanting to indulge your own desires." We have to let go and let Yah take control of our lives. When we pray according to his will, he answers us. You know, I have people ringing me from all over the world. "Can you please pray? I'm going through a situation. Can you pray now?" And yes, I start praying. I am happy to pray for any one of you at any time. All you have to do is let me know and I will pray. Yehovah and I have a very quick connection. It's really great because it doesn't matter where I am, he hears me. And if it's what you want is in his will, he will grant it for you. But I can only pray what Yehovah wants. But one who is united in Yeshua HaMashiach should be able to look back and see evidence of answered prayers. Although we do have to realize that not all prayers are answered the way we expect them to be. Sometimes we get no answer at all, and that to me means no, don't go there. I have a saying, if in doubt, leave it out. Just like I used to teach my children, if you can't take Yeshua with you, don't go there. If you can't say it in Yeshua's presence, don't say it. You know, they were taught that this is how it had to be. Because when you do things according to Yeshua's will, which is Yehovah's will, then your prayers will be answered in the way that you expected. I also have a saying, expect nothing and receive the rewards. Because sometimes, you know, I've learned all these things through the School of Hard Knocks, believe you me. And I learned them the hard way. I didn't have anyone teach them to me. And when you pray and you pray and you live in a situation that is not good, you expect nothing. And to get just the smallest little thing is a reward. This day with my 102-year-old mother, when I visit her, I expect nothing. If I get the squeeze of the hand to acknowledge that I'm there, that's a reward. My sisters this week had two smiles, two different sisters, as they took their mask off and their shield off so she could see who they were, they got a smile. That's classed as a diamond day. It's really easy to get the bonuses from the littlest thing. And if we expect nothing, we will receive the bonuses. That way, you're never disappointed if your expectations don't come to fruition. If you don't have an expectation, you can't get disappointed. In Tehillim Psalms, chapter 91, verses 15 to 16, it says, he, that is Yehovah, will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him when he is in trouble. I will extricate him and bring him honour. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. Who is the person that he is going to do this for? Verse 1 tells us clearly. It is in 91 verse 1, who will live in the shelter of Elyon? That is the Mighty One. Who spends your nights in the shadow of Shaddai? Elyon is the Most High Yah. Those who live in his shelter, those who depend on him and call on him, they are the ones who will receive the rewards. Could that be a place of uniting, a place of communion, a mutual fellowship with Yeshua and Yehovah, who is united with the Father in us and us united in Yeshua? When was the last time that you felt like you were communing with Yehovah? Maybe this is why so many people oftentimes seem to have a hard time getting answers to their prayers, because they are living below the level of uniting. Uniting also comes through love of Yeshua and his people. And we read that in Yochanan 15 verse 9. In Yochanan 15 verse 9 it says, just as my Father has loved me, I too have loved you, so stay in my love. It's all being part of connected to the vine. This verse brings in a whole new aspect of being united with Yeshua. As he goes on to say in verse 12, this is my command, that you keep on loving each other just as I loved you. We're commanded to love one another. I don't care if you like me or not, but you've got to love me. That's up to you. Amen. What you think about me is none of my business. We are told to continue in his love, and we are commanded to love each other. How? In the same way that Yeshua loves us. How does he love us? He loves us consistently, continuously, unconditionally. He loves us when we are unlovable. When we don't live up to his expectations, and when we are not particularly loving him. And he is commanding that we love Yah's people the same way that he loves us. Therefore, I don't love you, my brothers and sisters, the same way Yeshua loves me, then I'm not united with him. Since Yehovah is love, and it says in Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, those who do not love do not know Yehovah, because Yehovah is love. And since Yeshua is one with Yehovah, and says in Yochanan John 1:1 and John 1:14, in the beginning was the Word. What are we talking about today? Words. And the Word was with Yehovah, and the Word was Yehovah. And the Word became a human being, Yeshua, and lived with us. And in Yochanan John 15:12, from our scripture today, it says to love one another by command. He says, this is my command. Command is a strong word. We have no right not to love one another. Shaul said in Galatians 5:6, when we are united with Yeshua HaMashiach, neither being circumcised nor being uncircumcised matters. What matters is trusting faithfulness expressing itself through love. And those who do not love the children of Yah have not known Yah, according to Yochanan Aleph or 1 John 3:14-18, where it says, we for our part know that we have passed from death to life because we keep loving the brothers. The person who fails to keep on loving is still under the power of death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. The way that we have come to know love is through his having laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. If someone has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how can he be loving Yehovah? Children, let us love not with the words and talk, but with actions and in reality. This scripture says that when we are abiding in him, through loving one another, we have passed from life to death. The final verse from our reading in Yochanan today speaks of an inner joy given by Yeshua. In Yochanan 15:11 it says, I have said this to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy be complete. It's hard to be joyful all the time. It is really hard, especially if you're not well. Yeshua was motivated by a desire to see us with a fullness of joy. He wants us to have that intense pleasure of being in his presence and working in his vineyard. That does not mean the absence of trial or trouble. We will always have that living in this world. But a joy born out of the assurance that Yeshua has overcome the world, and that we can also overcome our trials through him. As Yochanan says in Yochanan 16:33, I have said these things to you so that united with me you may also have shalom, that is peace. In the world you have zuris, trouble, but be brave. I have conquered the world. Yeshua tells us we can have joy in spite of our frustrations, in spite of our troubles, in spite of our difficulties. Indeed, one of the first visible signs of backsliding or not abiding in Yeshua is the loss of joy, especially about things spiritual. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, it says, rejoice in union with the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. We must also recognize that joy comes from just having a right relationship with Yah. When King David repented of his adultery with Bathsheba, he went on to say in Psalm 51 and verse 12, restore my joy in your salvation, and let a willing ruach or spirit uphold me. King David wanted nothing better than to have his joy back. He recognized that sin had cost him his joy and that the ruach within him was not happy. Real satisfying peace and joy does not reside in those who walk in sin. We truly abide in him and he abides in us. Sharing that joyful communion will come to pass, as it says in this final scripture taken from our remembrance service, from Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. See, Yehovah is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid, for Yehovah Yah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw waters from the springs of salvation. That's it in a nutshell to me. If we are united with him, we are joyfully drawing Yah's living water into our being, and we are joyfully feeding ourselves and feeding in his presence. Nehemiah or Nehemiah, no matter how you say it, told us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you want to be fruitful and multiply spiritually? There is evidence that you and I are united. Check yourself. Am I seeing fruit of being united? Am I seeing my prayers being answered? Are my prayers in my will or Yah's will? Am I showing love to all within the congregation? Is my joy complete regardless of my circumstances? If we can say yes to these questions, we know that we are united with Yeshua HaMashiach, bearing fruit and steadfast in his love, regardless of what is happening in our world. Do we have any questions? You got a question? Take the mic.
So you've highlighted the importance of the word,
mm-hmm.
and you know, abiding in Yeshua's, mm-hmm. in many ways abiding in the word, because he's the word. So you know, for a given day, what would be a reasonable, you know, amount of time that, you know, people should be aiming for in terms of abiding in the word?
Well, you know, Yah gives us to give us a tenth of our fruit. If we gave a tenth of our time, I believe that is 2 hours and 27 minutes of a day. If you can give 2 hours, 27 minutes, you're doing excellently. I know I give a lot more. I can spend up to 4 hours just to start my day, but then I'm speaking with him on and off all day anyway, so I don't count that. But if you know, I have always made sure I spend at least 2 hours a day. But that's just me. Okay, everyone got to start in little steps and they grow. And they grow according to their desire to be in Yah's will. They grow according to their desire to know his word, to trust his word, and to live according to his word. And you can't do that by reading two verses a day and saying, I've been in the word today. And somebody else, what somebody else says on those two words. You can't do that. You've got to look at the word and you're saying, what's that saying to me? How can I change me to live according to that? And you can journal it. I lived in a situation with an alcoholic husband for 18 years. I was tested, well and truly. And I would journal every day. And then I would put an asterisk against every day that Yehovah gave me the strength to cope with that day and live in that day. And I look back at those journals, and I've still got those journals, and this is over 30 years ago now, and those journals have got 4 to 5 days that I had to depend on Yehovah to survive. Because this man was not just an alcoholic, but I was abused emotionally, physically, sexually, every way. Treated as a prostitute. I've lived it. I know what it's like. I've been strangled. I've had thumbs broken. I've had fingers broken. I've been there. So I'm not asking anyone to do something that I've never done. And if I didn't have Yehovah, I wouldn't have survived. Because I would have pushed myself under a bus or a big truck long before that. But Yah took me out. Because I raised that man's 3 children. And when the youngest got married, he said, "You've got 2 weeks to get out after the wedding. I don't need you anymore." I said, "Thank you, Yah." And started my life all over again at 47 years of age. So I don't speak to you just off my head. I speak to you out of what I've lived and what I've experienced. Don't ask anything more. Can't do any more than that. Sorry, did that answer the question, or was it too much?
I don't disagree with any of that, but I guess there'd be many that would respond that they just, you know, don't have 2 hours happily available. Now I think you agree that there should be a priority, you know, with people's time.
It can be split.
Sure.
You can do an hour in the morning, an hour at night. You can do half an hour in the morning, half an hour at lunchtime, and an hour at night.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you don't have to do 2 hours straight. No one's saying do that. I'm just saying if you tithe a tenth, then a tenth of your time would be 2 hours, 27 minutes. So if you aim for 2 hours, you're doing pretty good.
Could you comment on the issue also that people may actually do dedicate the 2 hours, but then they shove, say, you know, 2 hours of Commonwealth Games and the news and some sitcom on top of that as well?
But everyone has a free will. I can't, you know, you can put 2 hours and you can watch other things. You've got a free will to watch what you want. But is it, when you watch, you're watching, does it line up with Yah's word? I mean, what's wrong with watching athletes compete? I will admit I watch the swimming every now and then because I love swimming. I used to have Dawn Fraser live in my home. My mother was the manageress of the Olympic team in Rome. I mean, I've lived swimming all my life. So, yeah, I watched the swimming. Just a couple of, you know, I didn't get to see the finals because they were on in the morning, but I did get to see the heats at night. Don't know how long that took, but, yeah, I watched the swimming. I don't have a problem with that. That's not going away from Yah's word. Any other questions? Go on, Justin.
Not really a question. I don't know if this is on. Is it on?
Have a look. Turn it. Have a look at the...
It's up.
Yeah.
Okay, so just thinking about spending 2 hours a day sort of locked in your prayer closet, I was kind of thinking it's not just all about that, because... Like, you can spend a lot of time integrating God into the things that you do.
Absolutely.
During the day. So, like, you know, when
that's
you're giving
said,
thanks
at
a meal
all
or
you're...
Yeah. So, I also, a couple of weeks ago, got this sort of message from God, and he was sort of saying to me that people spend an hour in church on Sunday communing with God and then spend the rest of the week worried with the troubles of the world. And I felt like he was saying, imagine if they spent an hour on Sunday doing their sins and gave the rest of the week to me, how much that would improve their lot in life.
That's exactly right. And it depends on what kind of life you want to have.
Yeah.
And the more time you commit to him, the better life you're going to have.
Yeah.
I really believe.
So, but it's I think for me, especially lately, with work being the way it's been and being sick and all that stuff that's been going on, like this service really resonated with me. But yeah, bringing God into every part of your day is, you know, and God will show you parts of himself as well when you do things like that, when you rely on him like that.
That's exactly right. You give him all your day. I'm not saying give him 24 hours, but you can. Because if you commit to each day everything you can to the best of your ability under his will, you are committing your
and
day
relying
to him.
Relying on him to make it, make it go.
You're trusting
better.
Him. Yeah. Having no expectations. Letting go and let him take control. We've got to move on so quickly.
It's just towards what Phil was saying about how much time to dedicate towards him. The fortune is in the follow through. So we learn every week here at the Torah, which is to implement into our lives. So your worship of Yehovah is a 24/7 occupation. It's every aspect of your life should impart Torah. So every decision that you make in your workplace has to be in 100% alignment with him.
That's
or you
right.
need to try to be at least. So your worship is every single day, every single minute that you're awake. And then the more you do that, the more it'll start imputing into your sleep life as well. And it'll start, it'll be through everything. Yeah. So worship is it's the scriptures, but it's also your daily walk. So
that's right.
You should be 24/7.
It is your daily walk. We can't put a time on it. That's why I said I don't put a time on it. Let's move on to the remembrance service.